The Door County Pulse podcast is brought to you in part by the Door County Community Foundation, inspiring people to give back, to sustain, and advance the community that we love. To learn more, visit givedoorcounty.org. We're back on the Door County Pulse podcast. I'm Miles Danhausen Jr., writer and editor here at the Peninsula Pulse, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, Door County bars. here to talk to me today is Bobby McDonald from the Bayside, which we have been trying to set this up probably for a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. It's been a while. A lot of text messages, a lot of delays for all sorts of reasons. But Bobby, thanks for finally getting down here to the podcast studio.
Yeah, Miles. Thanks for having me. On behalf of my entire family, thanks for talking about the Bayside.
You know, anybody listening to this probably knows what the Bayside is. Obviously, it's been around for a long time, nearly five decades in Fish Creek now.
Well, it's been there for 100 years. It was operated by several different owners prior to my parents buying it. They bought it in 75. So this is our 49th year in business as a family run business.
As a family business. And mm-hmm. Bill's? Bill's
Bar. It started out, and it wasn't until we did the renovation on our 100th anniversary that we worked with the Gibraltar Historical Society and Lori Buskey, who was great at providing digging and providing background on it. She found out that it wasn't, in fact, the Pelkeys who started it, which everybody always said they moved the building. And it turns out that it was Myron Stevens, who is a local ice guy in town.
Huh.
And he cut ice out of the bay. He stored the ice in the what is now Bayside Coffee. That was an ice house.
So that was an old ice house?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. In fact, when we renovated that and converted it to Bayside Coffee, we gutted the walls, and underneath it was lined with these inch and a half thick, 9 foot long cedar planks that were a foot deep. And I was like, whoa, this is way overbuilt for a little cottage. I didn't get it. And it wasn't until after that, she said, Myron Stevens was the ice guy and he stored ice in there. And in fact, he is the guy that moved the building. He owned that property at that time in 1922. And he moved the old schoolhouse that was the first graded school in Fish Creek down to its current location from near the Gallery of Gold and the old town hall. It was a sister building to that. But it was called at that time during Prohibition, it was called the White Front Pool Hall and Soft Drink Saloon. And Myron Stevens was the proprietor. Yeah. It was amazing because nobody knew that. I mean, nobody that I've ever talked to has brought that up.
Wow.
And I know a lot of people that know the history of Fish Creek. It was an uncovered fact. He owned it for a few years.
And it's a tavern, so there's a lot of time for people to sit and talk.
Yeah.
And they've never.
Yeah, that story never came forward. And he owned it for a couple of years, and then Bill Pelkey purchased it. And he ran it as a Prohibition-era soft drink saloon. And it was funny because we have a newspaper clipping from 1922, Christmas of 1922, which was the very first year that Myron Stevens opened the pool hall. And they were, the women and mothers of Fish Creek had appealed to the judge and wanted the place shut down because their husbands and sons were out drinking, shaking dice, and all sorts of things, the article says. And anyway, they almost did get shut down, but the judge said that the guy said they didn't do it. and he basically dismissed the case with no evidence. So it wouldn't be here today if it weren't for that.
You know, the tavern lived.
That one judge.
So when you guys when your parents took over in 1975, did they immediately rename it the Bayside?
No. It was actually Ray and Millie Walters bought it from Bill and Rosabelle Pelkey.
Okay.
And they owned it for close to 50 years. And Ray and Millie are the ones who renovated it or kind of put a protective covering on the building, I'll say, in about 1968 or 9. And then they named it the Bayside Tavern.
Okay.
So
it's been the Bayside now for 56 years. That's been the name
least,
of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 56 at least.
You talk about the ice house, and it is kind of interesting. There are still remnants of ice houses in most of the towns. We just don't know them as ice houses.
Right.
But for those, like most people are going to be familiar with the Bayside, but a lot of people may not be as familiar with Bayside Coffee. So when you're talking about that, the ice house building, if you're looking at the Bayside, there's a small alley to the right-hand side. And at the end of that alley, you go right to the water, and just to the left of that is Bayside Coffee, the place that before that was Malibu Moose. It's part of those series of shacks back there. You turned that into Bayside Coffee, what, like three summers ago?
Three summers ago.
And so that's what Bob's talking about when he's talking about the ice house. Right there on the water, beautiful view.
Yeah.
That, how has that worked out for you guys?
It's been amazing. It really has. Our customers appreciate it as much as I do. And, you know, they come down and relax. They have a view of the park. They have a view of the marina. They get to watch the boats. They see the harbor. Their kids splash around in the water. The dogs take a swim or sit with them while they're having their coffee. It's like Bayside Tavern, only we're serving coffee in the morning. And, you know, people who are strangers come together, you know, yeah, in their daily routine, and they'll sit together and talk while they're waiting or just spend hours there.
What was the impetus for it?
The impetus was something that started when I was in the corporate world. I was in advertising and marketing, and I had a lot of pressure in that career. So there was one day when I had a deadline, and this is way back 35 years ago probably. I had a deadline that was given to me at 5 o'clock, and it needed to be on the desk of the person the next morning at 8 o'clock. And that person was in Appleton, and I worked in Sheboygan. Anyway, that meant I had to pull an all-nighter while my kids were at home and then be back at work the next day. So during that time, I managed to do a little sketch of a coffee shop in one of those cottages. It didn't happen to be Malibu Moose was there at the time, so I didn't use that one, but the one that Jack and Joey is in, mm-hmm, right next door, that was the one I sketched up as my coffee shop. And I brought the sketch home to my wife, Barb, and I said, you know, Barb, I think I've had it. You know, I think I should quit my job and just move to Door County, open a coffee shop, and live the good life. And and she said, well, first of all, you're not going to quit your job, and you're not going to open a coffee shop.
Clearly, you weren't paying a lot of attention to your parents running a bar because you said, yeah, I'm going to open some sort of restaurant, and I'm going to be living the good life. That's not how that works.
No. Definitely not. But as far as a coffee shop goes, it's something that, you know, with my career, I was fortunate enough to travel all over the world, and some of my favorite spots were Italy and Spain, and I love the cafe culture there. Mm. And wherever I traveled, I always sought out the local coffee shop and just did my work from there and had my coffee and just appreciated the ambiance of the place.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create a place that felt similar in a way, you know, so we play French cafe music in the morning on the speaker, and you know the sun is coming up and you smell fresh croissants baking, and it's really a special little spot in Fish Creek.
So who owns that for you guys? Like who manages that for you?
We do. Barb and I. Okay. My family owns it.
And then one of the reasons I initially started talking to you about getting on the podcast is because at the time you guys were doing a renovation of the building. And I think that was to coincide with the 100 years.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What really intrigued me about what you guys were doing, obviously you're bringing it back to the historical look of the Bayside, but you know, nobody was sitting there saying, well, the Bayside's rotting, you have to do this. Or you weren't expanding, mm-hmm, you weren't adding this whole new kitchen or anything for it. So what was intriguing to me is like, it really just seemed just to update the facade, just out of that historic kind of look. Like what was the driving force behind like taking on that endeavor? Because it's not cheap to do that.
No, it's not.
It's not easy to operate a business while you're doing it.
It's been something that we've talked about over the years. My mother was a big proponent of redoing the facade, and she had architectural renderings drawn up of that way back when, in 1983, when they gutted the living quarters and the bar and created what is now the interior of Bayside Tavern. But she wanted the outside to match the feel and the look of the inside, which it did not. And, you know, it was dated and not really I always say that when you look at a streetscape of Fish Creek photographed, they always kind of crop off at Bayside, you know, in the olden days. So, and there was a reason for that. It didn't represent the charm of the
on
village.
Deck next door, yeah, in the Noble House.
No, it didn't. You know, which was, I did receive a compliment from Mitch next door, and, you know, he was very appreciative, of course, as a business owner downtown, that we enhanced the overall look and feel of the town.
And that's Mitch Larson from On Deck Clothing Store. And for context of that, he bought like a couple of old buildings years ago, mm-hmm, next door to the Bayside, and refaced them and put that traditional facade up. And I think he actually filled in a gap there with a building.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
And the same thing in Sister Bay with when he bought his grandfather's store at Bunda's. And did that like 10 years ago, he refaced that one to look more like a bunch of traditional storefronts with like a false, mm-hmm, facade, kind of to match to what Husby's look like across the street. And I remember at the time he was a big proponent of people doing that. Like he was hoping he would spur people to do that down the street. In Sister Bay, you did have that happen with Yenny's, with the work she's done on spot, and eventually Husby's kind of going with that gas station motif next door, which was the original look of that. And even Door County Creamery, they put a facade like that. So it actually, over time, did play out that way.
Yeah.
So not surprising that he would really appreciate you guys doing that right next door at the Bayside.
Yeah. He said he actually said it looks fantastic, and, you know, I want to feel like I may need to up my game a little bit, which which I really appreciate. He appreciated all the details that went into the building. We had craftsmen handcraft all the corbels on the building to be period correct and made out of cedar that feels as though it has been there 100 years, and all the awning brackets all handcrafted again. And there was just a lot of artistry that went into the building itself. I initially sketched out and presented the idea to my mom on the back of a bar napkin of what I thought it could look like. And, you know, I had to try to convince her to spend the money on it because she's the boss, right? And we've talked about it for many years, and, you know, prioritizing it was a tough thing to do because, like you said, it's not gaining you seating. It's not improving the kitchen. However, we did improve the kitchen along the way. We checked off all the big ticket items before we proceeded with this on the interior. You know, new tap system, new walk-in freezers, new kitchen, all new flooring, all new seating, and did quite a bit of work over time.
Yeah.
And it was subtle. It evolved.
Yep.
But we didn't want to change the soul of Bayside, right? Because it means so much to so many people. So
and it's always been that cozy, Cheers-like feel. And there's a benefit to a good dark bar, but it is nice that with the new facade, you do get a little bit more light inside there. So you know, it's not always a cave. Right?
That's right. It's not always a cave. And it's really nice to be able to look out and see the park across the street, the gazebo, the historic Noble House, and just a people watch. You know, you see the world go by. But the awnings actually keep a lot of the light down. So it's not like overly lit, which, you know, I was a little nervous about, quite honestly. I thought, I don't want to just like, you know, the sunbeams showing all the dust in the air and things like that.
I'm going to clean a little more.
Yeah. We have a great cleaning crew, by the way. It's just been a place for families and friends and strangers actually to come together and meet and celebrate milestones and create new milestones together in that kind of environment. And we wanted it to look as inviting on the outside as it felt on the inside. Mm.
The old roof that it had, it's not quite like a mansard roof, right? It was, what? How would you describe that weird angle?
Abomination of a roof? No, it was, you know, they did what they could at the time. And you know what's ironic? I'll tell you a little quick story about that, because I had quite a battle for almost a year on a renovation over that roof line. The shape was done because they added a second floor over the addition that was built in the 1920s. And when they built that second floor, of course, it had a slope to it that didn't match the original building, but they wanted to marry the two, so they just covered over it with that faux mansard roof made out of cedar shake. And, you know, it extended out over the sidewalk. It extended off on the ends a little bit, and it really just covered up what was there all along. The original schoolhouse building was behind there, but that 70s addition or 60s addition, there was no architectural just integrity to it.
It
was
it.
Just, yeah. So it was, I think, just a matter of how do we hide it.
The Door County Pulse podcast is brought to you in part by the Door County Medical Center. Are you looking for a job with excellent benefits, culture, and potential for advancement through tuition reimbursement programs? Door County Medical Center is hiring. For more than 75 years, Door County Medical Center has been the leader in health and wellness for Door and Kewaunee counties. Their integrated medical center provides a wide range of specialties, including primary care, behavioral health, general surgery, the Women and Children's Center, the Door Orthopedic Center, the Door County Cancer Center, and more. To join the team, apply today at dcmedical.org/careers. So your family's history at the Bayside, your mom and dad buy the place, you guys all grow up. I mean, some of your siblings had already grown up, right?
Right.
But like a lot of you were raised upstairs, correct?
Yeah, kind of the back half of the building, you know, which is now part of the bar room, where that and upstairs were our living quarters. So when my parents moved in the middle of August in 1975, they came with nine of us. There was six kids, themselves and a brother-in-law, two dogs, and a whole host of relatives that wanted to visit and see the new bar and sleep on the couches, and friends of all of ours that wanted to see the new bar. It was summer in Fish Creek. Come on, let's go up to Fish Creek and check it out. Let's stay a few days. So our house was just like this flop house of bodies. It was crazy. And at one point, everybody was involved in the business, including my brother Pat, who had actually, he was the one that kind of had grown up and moved away and, and had his music career. But he came home that summer and spent time with us. So we had one bedroom with my sister Karen and her husband Daryl. Because they were married, they got their own bedroom. And then the rest of us had to share this middle bedroom that was a pass-through bedroom to my parents' bedroom, which it was crazy. It was really crazy. But it was fun. It was really a lot of fun.
And so your dad, Smiling Bob, he's like the face of it.
Yep.
As your mom once told me, not actually a really good bartender, but he liked to talk a lot.
Which makes for a good bartender. Yeah. You know, I think you need someone that can make the drinks quickly and count the right change. But
and then your mom, Elaine, was the quieter side, but kind of the bones of the business, right?
Yeah, she was always the backbone of the business and kept it running. And through the really difficult times, and at 90 years old, she's still the matriarch of our business, and she's involved in business decisions to this day. You know, I may manage it, but I've got to get her approval on everything because she's my boss, not just my mom. And of course, the kids all have a share in the business from my father's half of the business. My parents were divorced, and they each own 50%.
That's one of the most remarkable business partnerships that I've ever heard of, especially in Door County, is your parents divorced early on, right?
Like, right.
What year did they get divorced?
I think in 82.
But remained business partners until Smilin died.
Yeah,
exactly. And that was probably, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
Smilin died?
Yeah, six, I think.
I mean, I can't imagine that many couples could stay in business in a financial relationship.
No, and it was rocky
and,
at first.
And with the kids directly intertwined for all that time. Like, so all of you have taken a stint, long stretches, either behind the bar, working there, or as co-managers and things like that over the years. So you're intertwined with your parents who are divorced. Like, well, what is that like? How did that, maybe you didn't know anything different. Maybe none of it.
We really appreciated it actually as a family, you know, especially me, because after college I lived away and I would just come up to visit, and the rest of my family, except for Pat, were living in Door County. And so I would visit mom and dad, and with my two girls in tow, and it'd be like, well, who do you visit first, mom or dad? Because they're keeping score. And then we'd walk in the front door of Bayside, and that became our family living room. You know, that's where we met with all of my siblings and their kids and cousins and friends and family, and this big mixed bag of people that have commonalities in their life that keep them together. And kind of a love for each other. And my parents had this love for each other. They just couldn't stay married. And my mom always looked out for my dad, and she respected him as the face of the business. And she was pretty invisible. A lot of people actually didn't know that she was upstairs kind of holding the place together and juggling the bills and doing everything else that needed to be done. And so my dad certainly was a great character and a wonderful businessman in his own right, because he knew that personality and connections with people is the main thing that a bar needs. It needs a personality.
I once rented an apartment from him, a very basic apartment across the Alexander's parking lot. This blue building, and it's like just a little apartment above a garage. And I think it was like $450 a month or something, which you'd almost cry at that today.
Yeah, two bedrooms.
Two bedrooms. I remember some beautiful brown shag carpet at the time, or orange. It was rough. But I go in, and
You're not the person with the rabbit, are you?
No, I did not have a
Someone
rabbit.
Someone had a rabbit and ate all that carpeting around the entire perimeter of the apartment. That and I was just like, what the hell happened here?
That was not me. But it's so funny because Smiling shows us the apartment, go in there, and what does he do? He just walks over, sits in a chair, and he's like, well, there it is. And take a look. And he just like spins around and looks out the window.
Yeah, like, that's Smiling. He wasn't necessarily as a landlord, he might have paid a little more attention.
Well, the great thing was when I was late with rent too, he didn't really notice until.
No, I know. But then it occurred to him in the middle of a conversation you were having probably 3 months later.
Yeah.
God damn it, you dippy shit. Yeah. You didn't pay my rent.
You owe me money. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was fun. It was also very convenient because I was coaching high school basketball at Gibraltar at the time, so I could have an open gym at 6 in the morning and wake up at 5:55 and make it to school on time because it was like right down the road from the school. I wonder what that place looks like. Maybe I don't want to know what that place looks like.
No, it looks amazing now. It looks amazing now, actually. My sister and her significant other at the time bought it from my dad and really kind of improved the overall quality of the place. And, you know, it was great because they lived upstairs for many years since I've been back. Mm. And my sister Karen is now passed, as you know. But I was able to spend some great time with her. Mm. And my Aunt Mary, who comes from Santa Fe every year to work at Bayside in the summers, stays in that cottage right next door. So it's kind of a family affair. It was kind of another extension of the Bayside compound, if you will.
As you're mentioning all the family, I was going to ask you, is it hard to be in a business with family? And that's the wrong question because yes, it's hard.
Yes.
Like family and business is hard. I'm more of like, what is that like? How is it navigated? What was it like just having everyone kind of intertwined? Because I know from my own personal experience, like family and business is, you have these knocked on drag out fights. You don't talk to people for a while. There's all sorts of things that come out. It's
all
really hard
happened.
To navigate.
Yeah.
So
all
to keep that in the family for almost 50 years now is through a parent's divorce and all the other stuff. And you got big personalities. You got Pat McDonald, the musician, and your sister, Christy. You know, some people might know who Christy is.
Yeah, I think they know Christy Weber.
Elaine's a big personality.
She's on the right side of the fight, by the way.
I agree. And Smiling was a big personality. So it's not like you're lacking.
No.
Your brother Ron, all these. You're like,
yeah.
How the heck did this stay together?
It was, you know, thankfully I lived away for many of those years, so I didn't have to get in the fights. When I came, it was sort of like, happy family reunion, you know.
Yeah. But you linger around the outside of it.
yeah, float around the perimeter. No, it's difficult even to this day managing it because my mom wants to be in control still, as she is very proud of the business that she built. She and my dad built together. She wants to leave that as her legacy, and she wants things done the way she would like to see them proceed. So it's made family members angry with one another, which is a problem, unfortunately. And it's created some dramatic situations along the way. Let's just leave it at that. But but back in the early days when it was all of us working together, kind of, it was fun. You know, we'd fight. My brother Ron and I were very close in age, and we shared one of our cottages at the time in the back for living. I came home from college for the summer to work at Bayside. And we nearly killed each other at that time because we just like, it's not my night to work, it's your night. No, it's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff.
Just I was in business with my brother. He's probably the only person, other than breaking up bar fights, he's probably the only person I've ever punched in the face.
Well, Ron and I did have a fight. And it was one of my only fights, I guess. And it was not my proudest moment, but I, you know, it's just that we're too close, living under the same roof and working together, and the frustrations boiled over on both our parts. So,
but you guys, like, just to keep that place in the family, obviously reinvesting in it and redoing the facade and everything, I think that leads me to believe that it will stay in the family.
That's the hope and desire, yeah. But with now multiple shareholders, and when my mom passes, what that looks like, it could be challenging to keep it in the family. I hope we can.
Yeah.
Because it would be a shame if it wasn't, because I know anybody else that might purchase the property would bulldoze everything on the property and put up something new in two stories and create an entirely different downtown Fish Creek.
Mm.
And it's not that that would be a wrong thing to do necessarily, but you'd be destroying the past for
It'd be the
future.
Wrong thing to do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for agreeing. I think it would be the wrong thing. And my family believes strongly it's the wrong thing to do. We had a town board member say, you know, when we wanted our outdoor seating too, say, well, you just need to tear down some of these cottages and put in more parking. I'm like, this is waterfront property, and you want me to tear these cottages down and just make it all parking so that we can have more parking along the waterfront? That's not its highest and best use. And we believe strongly that the charm of Fish Creek is largely based on the small cottages that have been in constant use, either as lodging or as retail, reconverted retail spaces for 100 years. And if you try to really count the number of cottages in Fish Creek, you'd be hard-pressed, because there are so many little cottages that people don't even really kind of perceive. And, you know, I've thought about, you know, they range in size from 300 square feet to now, if you count Cottage Row, 10,000 square feet, which is, but that's some people's definition of a cottage. And the preservation of those, I think, is really important. Founders mm-hmm. Square is a great example of that. You know, if they could have easily torn everything down, and or when the fire back in the early 80s burned the main building down, they could have put up something that
could have bulldozed that and made it one big resort or something.
Like a mall or resort or something 80s-like.
Yep. And Fish Creek would be worse for it.
Yeah. And they tried to replicate the original structure that was there, and they kept the cottages, and they've maintained them all these years as a really charming shopping experience that's unlike any other place.
Yeah.
And, you know, our Bayside shops are a part of that, and so are the other little shopping compounds along the way. And I'm afraid they'll disappear with developers
before
too long. And, you know, I'd like to see some kind of historic designation for the Fish Creek Historic Cottage District because I would love to see people appreciate them, not as these little shacks. And again, it was another town board member who, doing a walkthrough on the waterfront master plan. This is the original walkthrough several years ago when they initiated the consultancy and started planning out what that might look like. Was standing in front of what is now Bayside Coffee, what was then Malibu Moose. And while I'm standing in the audience, and he knows who I am, we're friends, says, "Oh, and this little piece of crap over here, we can just bulldoze that." I just raised my hand and I said, "Excuse me. That's not your little piece of crap to bulldoze. That's ours. It's not for sale, you know, and it's a very important little structure for us and for our Bayside experience, our version of hospitality in Fish Creek."
Wow. I mean, it is interesting. And I've been talking to a lot of people about this in Sturgeon Bay, like how we, and elsewhere, we kind of forget, we love our small town, but we actually don't recognize the things that make it what we love mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, but even in some of the things that people are willing to discard. Like at one point, Fish Creek was going to get rid of that old town hall.
You know? I know, exactly. You know, my sister Christy was just a teenager at the time, and she saw that. That's kind of where her fight for historic preservation began.
Yeah.
Was starting the Fish Creek Historical Society, and her and some others, they were able to save that town hall. And it was an amazing thing because that served our town now for more than 100 years. And continues to serve as a gathering spot for really important events and meetings. And it's part of the charm of our village.
And maybe, I think when we think of like the historic villages in Door County, we tend to think about probably Ephraim first, right?
Right.
And rightfully so. They've done a great job with their historical society and saving some of those key buildings. But you mentioned this once, and it got me thinking, like Fish Creek with the town hall, with what Mitch has done on that corner, the Noble House, and now what you guys have done with Bayside, White Gull Inn, the old Welker's Lounge. And like, yes, some things have changed, but there's, and like you said about Founder Square, you lost a lot of that, but then it was rebuilt in a way that honored the past.
Right.
And I think it's not a coincidence then that that little corner of Fish Creek was what most other towns in this county, when they would look at their land use plan, when they would look at their, well, how do we redevelop? How do we draw more business? They'd mm-hmm. be like, how do we get more like Fish Creek? How do we get more like that corner?
I know. And Fish Creek, unfortunately, looks to other towns like Sister Bay and development and says, oh, how do we get more of what Sister Bay has? You know, well, and I think that's human nature to a certain degree mm-hmm. to kind of want to rebuild and improve and make steps to draw more people. But is that better? What about that makes Fish Creek better for our visitors? And for our business owners and our residents.
And you know, you look at it and some people think, oh, we need more parking. And then you go, like, what are all of our core areas? Mm-hmm. What's the commonality? Is like a commitment to some level of historic preservation mm-hmm. is a pretty common theme. Whether you look at Bailey's Harbor and the busiest areas, you look at Sister Bay and the busiest areas and Fish Creek and Ephraim. Their downtown cores, there's been a concerted effort to preserve that historical look. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing that isn't common about any of them is tons of available parking.
Right?
Like that is not a common theme in terms of like a very busy, high attraction corridor. Uh-huh. That's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. But then when we think about it, that is usually where we start.
Right.
And we start with new and with this. It's like, no, repurpose. Find those things. There's a reason people come here. Let's mm-hmm. hold on to those reasons.
They'll find a way to get to us. Even with the highway closure, people found a way to get to us.
Mm-hmm. Do you worry about some of that in Fish Creek?
Oh,
what you might lose?
I'm really worried about it because it affects us dramatically. I moved to Fish Creek because I love Fish Creek. I love my family, but I had a good life living in Kohler, Wisconsin. I had a charming old historic home that I raised my kids in. But there's something about the quality of life in Fish Creek when you walk to the bank. Well, you can't do that anymore. But when I walked to the bank where I took out my first checking account when I was 15 years old as a busboy at the CNC, the tellers all know your name and they talk to you. When you go to the post office, they know your name and they talk to you. You go to the local coffee shops and the bar and the grocery store and people know you and talk to you. They recognize you from, you know, even if it's a year later, we'll recognize customers at Bayside. And that makes people feel a part of the community. And I think that's a really important thing that we may end up losing is that sense of small town connectedness and community if we just keep paving over and putting new in place of old. And Fish Creek is named one of the top 10 tourist destinations by Forbes in the entire country. It's on so many lists for being the most charming town in America. And, you know, it's got its notoriety and its followers and its fans. And I think Bayside Tavern, you know, if you look at my family, the size of my family plus the number of people we serve in a given year is probably the most information gathering spot you could probably ask for. Yeah, we know how people feel about Fish Creek. We know what they love. We know what they don't love. We know what they come here for, why they come year after year, when they got here, you know, back in the early 60s. And that connectedness and that sense of commonality or familiarity and that excitedness when you come down that hill in Fish Creek, you know, that you get in the pit of your stomach that we used to when we'd come up here camping.
Yeah.
When I was a child before they bought Bayside, you hit that hill in Fish Creek and you're like, you can feel everything change. And, you know, it goes to everything from we're becoming kind of spit shine and polished, right? Everything mm-hmm. seems to be, I hate to use the word gentrified, but there's a certain amount of change that has just happened based on, you know, oh, we need new sidewalks and we need new telephone poles and we need new street amenities and we need
should have buried those telephone poles.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I when I saw them first being installed down the hill, I was just like, oh my God, what are they doing? And I was just, I thought, well, maybe it's because the bluff is there. They need these steel poles to kind of, you know, stand up to the
and then they went up all through
crumbling rock. And then I just, that is something that I will never quite fully grasp. But I don't know if I never got an opportunity to vote on it, but I don't know if it was, you know, if I missed the meeting, but
I don't think they brought it to like Egg Harbor did it at a, I think they did it at a public meeting by consensus, but there was a lot of, I think, I'm not positive how they did it. But you mentioned Sister Bay and people say like, well, maybe sometimes they want some measure of what Sister Bay has, but generally you hear people too busy, it's too busy. I'm like, it's fine, whatever. But what Sister Bay did is, you know, a decade ago is all struggling, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And you had a lot of people with local ties and local roots reinvest in the town. Mm-hmm. And if you walk down the street, you got Mitch starting that at On Deck. You got the folks at Husby's, you got Yenny, you got JJ and his son Jesse at the Creamery, the Grassy's moving home, Mike Dobner going down the street with the Boathouse. It's mm-hmm. one after another of like deep Sister Bay names reinvesting in the town.
Right.
And where you see success in Fish Creek, it's the same thing with Karn and Scott launching Hill Street. These are people who are committed to Fish Creek for generations from, you know, the seeds of the cookery and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Meredith Colson taking over for her parents at the White Gull Inn and becoming deeply enmeshed with the community and the civic association and everything. And then with Bayside, and again, Mitch, a common factor here, also at On Deck and investing in those corners and being willing to work through the lulls in business and try to figure out how to bring it back, not just like, all right, well, it didn't work. I'm cutting bait, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes towns and I think in community, and that's a lot of what you described there, and that's what mm-hmm. you hold on to. It's like you can't, I know when the economy was bad at one point, it was like some people started to look to the outside or how do we attract this business? How do we attract this big box store? And it's like mm-hmm. the big box store is not invested. The outside investors are not going to stick through. As soon as it gets unprofitable, they're gone.
Exactly.
But as people with local ties who care about the community, who have memories there, and you got to give them a reason to create those new memories, mm-hmm. those are the people who stick it out.
Right. Yeah.
Like every year has not been gravy at the Bayside, I'm sure.
No. There's been some lean years. But yeah, we had to evolve a little bit. But the family names, like you said, that, you know, the Johnsons and Nelsons, all the Swedish names.
Yeah, right.
And the Larsons. Everybody that has deep roots here loves it the same way, I believe. They love Fish Creek. They love Door County. It's a shared love of what we get to live in, you know, what we're surrounded with. You know, I don't think there's a day that goes by where someone in my family doesn't say how much they appreciate living in Fish Creek. My mom was 90 years old and lived here for 50 years, still says it every day. I mean, I kid you not, she says it every day. She'll say, oh, I can't. Now she's in rehab for a broken hip, but she's like, I can't wait to get home and come to Fish Creek. You know, I want to be in Fish Creek. I want to see the water. I want to be able to.
I've never seen her anywhere but Fish Creek, so this makes sense.
She, you might have bumped into her at Alexander's once in a while, but
that's Fish Creek. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Well, maybe when it was up in Sister Bay. She, a couple of years ago when I sat down at Bayside Coffee and talked to you and her, I think she even said that. She goes, I just still love coming down that hill.
Yeah.
Just still love it. It makes her feel good and makes her feel about her town. And you get this view of the village and you come down and you stop at that stop sign and you stare ahead and there's the water off a block in the distance. And, you know, there's something to that of entering a town. And if you start even from the top of the hill, you look to your left and it's Lautenbach's, a family that's been there for 50 years as well. You know, and owning that entryway. And luckily it's been preserved as orchard. I mean, imagine if that, what's your feeling of Fish Creek if you don't have the orchard there as you enter?
Yeah,
it
and just the settlement too. The settlement and
if that's instead a big gas station, you know, which is what could is a fear, right?
Absolutely. If you look at the entrance to Door County, if you consider Sturgeon Bay the entrance to Door County, it's such a hodgepodge of pole buildings and signs and random residential houses thrown in there for the mix and just unrelated things.
And for the most part, national chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole four line where the visitor center is the only thing that's not a national chain in that. The only thing. There are a couple others. But mainly, like, so some people have always said, like, why don't people consider that part of Door County? And that's changed, right? Yeah. I think that's changed for the better in a lot of ways. But, well, if you're driving right there, there's nothing about it that screams Door County to you, right?
Right.
I mean, unless somebody connects Walgreens with Door County somewhere.
That's
so there's a
pretty
reason.
Cold corner now.
But if you take that exit and come through into Sturgeon Bay, past the old school, and then you get to the historic West Madison area, and then you go over the Steel Bridge, now you're looking at the shipbuilding. Now it makes sense.
Right.
But that four-lane area, it doesn't scream Door County.
No, not at all. And you know, Sturgeon Bay has done an amazing job, I think, holding their downtown together and keeping it historic and vital. You know, it's if you think about a downtown in the olden days, what did it have? Everything that Sturgeon Bay has. You know, it's got an eye doctor. It's got bars and restaurants. It's got a bookstore. It's got candy stores and jewelers.
Yeah.
And all the things that make a town gathering spot important.
Right.
So I think it's something that, I don't know if it happened just because, you know, or if there's a real concerted effort on the people in Sturgeon Bay to make that happen and continue it. But the reinvestment in the old Prangy's store, you know, that could have sat vacant, could have gotten torn down, and something else could have been put there that just didn't feel quite right.
Yeah. Yeah. Having like Todd Trimiger and dive into that space, I mean, that could have been so bad.
Yep.
And instead you had somebody who's locally committed and believes in the community invested a ton of money into that.
Right. Yeah. The Holiday Motel too. You know, that's...
Yep. Great point.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby, we have hit an hour, which is our max for the podcast.
Okay. Well, I could talk to you for 2 hours.
Yes, we could. And we'll probably talk a little bit after this. But I'm so glad we were finally able to get you to break free from the Bayside and get over here and join the podcast. So thank you so much. And say hi to your mom.
I will do.
Hopefully we see her back at the Bayside very soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, thanks a lot, Miles. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Door County Pulse podcast. This podcast is produced by Miles Danhausen Jr. and edited by Rachel Lucas. If you want to help us continue to create more great episodes just like this one, visit our website at doorcountypulse.com.